broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
It covers 96% of all Americans.
Greetings. It's time to start drawing from our proud American history of burning people in effigy.
I've said all along that I support a tougher regulation of insurance companies.
I imagine these members thought that maybe this flag was some kind of political, religious statement.
Jews are good with money.
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and we take you to the looking glass of reality. Like the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. And get to the truth. Coming up tonight, we're going to be talking with Vernon Dozier, who is a high school teacher, as well as a varsity football coach, as well as a member of the board at the Belmar Academy. And he'll be discussing with us a new set of research that's out that essentially says kids who are overweight should be allowed to sleep in on weekends and should be allowed to relax a little bit more on weekends. It could very well be that the stress and the strain of reminding them of their weight and the problems they're having therein causes them to be overweight. So we'll be talking to him. You know, the health care bill, at least as far as the House goes, has been passed. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And you can visit us online all the time at philhendryshow.com, where you can listen to live streaming audio of the show as well as watch a live streaming video, which is happening right now. I'm looking at myself on our small monitor here in the comfort of our El Pacifico studios. I first want to bring on the line with us tonight a gentleman who is with a group called Disband. And Disband is, as far as I can tell, and we'll talk to Chris more about it, basically comprised of single men who are looking to, as they say, remove the prejudice involved in being a young single man in the dating world and in looking for a life partner. And we bring Chris on the line from Hermosa Beach, California. Chris, how are you this evening?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having us on and hearing our message. Appreciate it very much.
Chris, I wanted to mention to you, first off, that you're on our program this evening kind of as a last minute, because we did see your story in the newspaper, and it was, at the time I was reading about the American flag being banned in a gym, and I didn't think there was a connection, but you actually have a connection there in terms of symbols?
Well, I don't want to get too complicated. I guess I should give my background a little bit.
Well, tell people who you are and what do you do?
Yeah, I work for a telemarketer in Hermosa Beach, California, which is I telemarket pharmaceuticals. But during my off hours, obviously, I'm a single man. I'm 28 years of age. I do date. My friends are also active in the single world. I'm, I guess, lucky in a way because I was born. I'm very probably, you know, better looking than I guess most guys are. Where we go to meet young ladies, which could be any one of a number of restaurants or bars in the Hermosa Beach or Manhattan Beach area, we've noticed more and more people flaunting kind of a religious symbol that impedes your ability to live a free life and be a free man and a free woman.
And what is the religious symbol? Because it goes to the name of your organization.
Well, the religious symbol is the wedding band. And the reason why we say it's a religious symbol is because it obviously is. Marriage is something that takes place in a religious institution, and then women or men will put a religious symbol on their finger, and they go into the world and flaunt it and sort of force the rest of us to, you know, they kind of shove it down our throats in a lot of ways. And we find it offensive, and we feel that when you're in a restaurant or you're in a bar setting and you're with single people and you're trying to meet people and people come in with a religious symbol, see, that's not a separation of church and state. And that's the main thing of what it is that I was talking about with your producer on the show.
Not a separation of church and state. So the wedding band worn by any individual, whether it be a woman or a man.
Well, in our case, we're mostly interested in how come women who are obviously attractive and are putting out a lot of sexual energy, for instance, and, you know, there's a lot of women and a lot of men in this world put out sexual energy, have a lot of sexuality, but why did they do that? And at the same time, they flaunt their religion openly, where you're not allowed to do that in a church, in a separation of the church and the state. And when I was talking to Lance Germain, who's also my manager, because I have kind of an aspiring acting career in adult films, and I said, when we were having Bloody Marys over here one morning over here at Rusty Pelican, I said to him, isn't that a separation of church, or not a separation of church and state?
So when you saw the wedding band on young women, attractive young women that you may want to talk to, you're looking at a religious symbol that you find offensive.
Exactly. And I don't have a problem with religion. I think that religion is, you should be allowed to practice your religion. But we have, I find it offensive to me to see that. And so, like you were talking about that gym in Massachusetts where they had a flag and people thought that was offensive, I think, in a lot of ways, in this world we live in.
Well, I don't see the difference. I do see a difference there. That's a secular, and this is you're talking about religion.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. This, people are allowed to wear their religion all over the place, even if it offends me.
Now, what would you say to someone who had a cross around their neck, wearing a cross?
Well, see, that's only worn by women. And that doesn't mean that they're shoving their religion in your face to the extent that it affects your life. You see?
So you're saying that the wedding band is shoving their religion in your face to the point where it does inhibit you?
It does, yeah. It's prejudice, I think, mainly against my practices, my social practices, which is that I want to meet women, I want to talk to them, and get to know them and let them see, what I'm about and they can meet me, but if they have their religious symbol, their wedding ring, they're saying not only are they religious, but it keeps me from having the freedom to talk to them.
Well, would it not be a fair thing to say this, Chris? If they're wearing a wedding band, they don't want to talk to you.
Not necessarily. As you know, Mr. Henry, in society, and we've got the testimonials of a great many of our own members of disband. There are a lot of married women that you can approach and talk to, and I don't want to say that I don't respect marriage, but what if she's out there and she wants to meet you? And
a lot of women take their wedding bands off.
A lot of them do, a lot of them don't. And I applaud the women who take their wedding bands off because they don't want to offend me or other single men and make us not want to be around them because we're offended, and we won't talk to them. But some of them do keep their wedding band on. If you sometimes find you can talk to them and even find that you can go out with them,
Why do you want to go out with a married woman, man? Why do you want to go out with a woman who's married, who has a husband?
It's not about that. It's not really about that at all. It's about the fact that wedding band is a religious symbol that keeps her from being who she is and keeps me from being who I am. And it's in public, and it's against the Constitution, and it inhibits behavior. You were talking about her wearing a cross around her neck. That doesn't inhibit behavior because that symbol no one really cares about. I mean, I shouldn't say no one cares about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, people, the person wearing it,
well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Some people wear crosses around their necks because they just think it looks goth. Seriously, some emo people who wear crosses. But I'm saying that the wedding band is an actual religious symbol that keeps people from practicing, from being free, and, from being free and wanting to do what they want to do.
On your website here, it says that you call it the wedding ring is an outrageous and offensive religious symbol. Why do you think that?
We believe that the wedding ring is not only an outrageous and offensive religious symbol, we believe it should be barred from the public sphere. And I know the public is behind us on this because we've talked to a lot of people who realize that it is so, it's so over, really. I mean, it's so, 90s to wear a religious band on your finger and say, oh, hi, I'm married. I mean, what does that mean? What does it really mean? Does anybody really know what it means? I don't think so. But we at Disband understand that what it is a religious symbol that is a of the separation of the state and church, and that it does inhibit behavior.
So, and this is on your website, the wedding ring, an outrageous and offensive religious symbol that must be barred from the public sphere. And you believe the public is behind you on this, right?
We do, because we've had all kinds of email from, a lot of it is from single men, okay?
All right, so you got a lot of single guys.
Well, no, but it's gaining ground, I think, among women who feel that wearing that around their fingers, almost like wearing, forgive me for saying this, it's almost like wearing one of those steel slave bands that the back when they were called Negroes, slave Negroes were wearing when they were slaves. But the wedding band is, in our opinion, oppressive, not only to women, but also to single men who want to talk to them. And we're saying take your religion out of our face, not out of our face, but take your religion out of our life. And put your religion back in your church where it belongs and take it away from the bar. It's the one place where I can go and have a cocktail or, talk to my friends and not have to have all kinds of religion shoved up in my face and everything.
You're using an awful lot of the language that is used by some in the religious community who, for instance, don't like gay people.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you're sort of saying you're shoving your lifestyle.
Oh, no, we're not talking about your lifestyle. I'm saying that they are shoving their religion. And that's got nothing to do with just a philosophical difference. That's about the Constitution of the United States of America. And the Constitution says you separate a church and you separate it out away from the state.
Well, you know what? I'm not a lawyer, Chris, and we'll take some phone calls here with Chris Norton, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. When you say that the wedding band is a religious symbol, and I don't doubt that it is, the wearing of it in public is a violation of the separation of church and state.
That's exactly what we're saying, and we are saying that it needs to stop. We think you can be married and not violate other people's rights by wearing your religion on your hand everywhere you go, and to that end, we want it to be banned in public, and that's what this band is about.
So you want the wearing of wedding rings banned? You know that that's not going to happen.
I don't think so. I think you can force people to take them off when they go into restaurants. I think you can force people to take them off when they go into like movie theaters or shopping malls.
So you would like people to take their wedding bands off before they go into bars, restaurants, movie theaters, etc.
Wherever there's going to be a gathering of people where it's going to be offensive to see your religion every place is really what we're saying.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL with Chris Norton, and we're talking here. He's a member of a group called Disband, a group that wants to ban the wearing of wedding rings in public because it is a religious symbol violating the separation of church and state. It also impedes people's lifestyles and people's actions and the way that they relate to other people. And he feels that there should be some kind of a ban or a limiting of wearing the wedding ring. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Chris Norton and more of your phone calls. And later on, gym members call the display of an American flag offensive, and Randall Terry wants to burn pictures of Pelosi in effigy. All right. And we'll also tell you which states get the worst sleep. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, our world famous and groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It is a busy news day. It's also one of those days where you can look at the larger issues, the social and political issues that affect us. With us is Chris Norton from Disband, a group of predominantly single men, young men, who believe the wedding band, the wedding ring worn in public is a violation of church and state separation and, in point of fact, constrains people's commerce, business, and behavior. Now, you said we're going to go to some phone calls, Chris, but you said that you did some research on this.
I did a Wikipedia search on Establishment Clause, and I think under the principles of Sherbert versus Verner, the Supreme Court has made it clear that wearing wedding bands in public violates my rights, as well as the rights of others, to operate in a way that, I want to just be free. I mean, that's all I want to be is free. And
okay, I'm not familiar with this court case. Sherbert what?
Sherbert versus Ferner. And it said that it's on a, when I looked on Wikipedia, it said about it making, you know, wearing wedding bands in public violates my rights.
All right, 877-876, Phil, talking here with Chris Norton. Let's go over to a phone call we have on the line tonight from Texas. Is Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show. You're on with Chris Norton. What can we do for you, sir?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you very much.
I don't agree with you, sir, and I just think you have a very skewed version of separation of church and state. First of all, I don't know of any state-run bars, any tax-funded bars, so it's not a public place. When you walk into a bar and you see a woman wearing a wedding band...
They pay taxes.
Right, they pay taxes. But no one is forcing you to walk into this bar, and you see women wearing wedding bands, no one's forcing you to stay there. You have every right to leave that bar and go to somewhere else where they ban wedding bands. But that woman has every religious right to express and wear whatever symbol she wants to wear. It's not up to me or up to you or anyone else to tell her what she can and what she cannot wear.
Yeah, but everywhere you see wedding bands. Yeah. What's your name? Your name
right.
is
That's right,
Bob?
Sir. And you know what?
No, his name's Andrew.
Okay, but everywhere you go, you see wedding bands. And what that means, when I looked at Sherbert versus Verner, basically, because people are wearing their religion everywhere, there's nowhere you can go. And so I'm saying that the courts have to make a decision on where I can go, or they tell me, okay, just stay in the street, and people with wedding bands can go any place? I don't think so. So we're saying split the difference and at least allow me, when they go into a bar where I'm going to go in, I'm going to talk to some ladies or something, and she's got her wedding band on, and I can't do nothing about it.
You know what? I mean, the idea that you cannot
see
a person because of a... I know what you're saying, but the idea that you can't go and talk to a woman because she's wearing something around a finger that's symbolic, and you even say so yourself. What is marriage?
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything.
That
is not true.
It's religion, man. It's keeping me from being free from religion.
I disagree with you, sir.
I mean, are you familiar with the tenets of Sherbert versus Verner? I mean,
I doubt if any of us are, Chris.
Well, there's another case called Wisconsin versus Yoder. If you Google it, you'll be on my side. I can guarantee you.
Okay, Andrew. Appreciate your phone call,
you.
Sir. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876. Phil, let's move on to another phone call. We have Kristen calling us. Kristen, you're on with Chris Norton and Phil Hendry. What can we do for you tonight?
Hi, I'm just calling to make a point.
Hi,
that
Kristen.
I actually am engaged to be married. I happen to be a lesbian, and, you know, our marriage really has nothing to do with religion for either one of us. We're going to be married by a justice of the peace, and, you know, I guess the wedding band that we're going to wear just has to do with our commitment to each other, and that's a symbol of that. So it really has nothing to do with religion for us, and I think many couples would share that, whether gay or straight. So that's my main point and why I would disagree with, you know, the fact that you find it offensive based on religious reasons.
Can you hold on, Chris, I can hear you breathing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a sinus condition. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a response to what the lady said?
Well, I think in her case, because she is a lesbian, I think it would be helpful. While it means something to her, it has a traditional meaning in the rest of society, and that traditional meaning is a religiously consecrated union between two people. And while she may think that it's not religious, it offends me that it's still on her hand. But she is a lesbian, and what we also have put into the platform, basically, of our charter is if there was a way that if she's a lesbian to let us know. I don't know how you do that. In a public place or in a bar.
What do you mean, let you know?
If she's got on a religious symbol, but she's a lesbian, so I'm not going to want to talk to her. She didn't want to talk to me, neither, I'm sure. If she could...
But how would you know that I'm a lesbian?
Like a special kind of band. Or it's, you know, representing what lesbianism is, you know.
If
you could wear something
band.
That was made out of steel or something that was different from...
Wait a minute. Here's a young woman. She's marrying her partner. She's married, and she's got on her wedding band. And all she wants to do is have that on her finger.
Yeah, she's got it on her our finger, but to me it offends me because it's religious.
She just said that it's not.
See, that's the whole thing. She can say it's not, but it is. Because if she could, for a lesbian, if they could wear something made out of... A friend of mine said barbed wire, but I think that that's...
What do you mean barbed wire?
Well, you don't want to go near that, you know.
We'll be back with Chris Norton, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Barbed wire.
Oh, yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the Alice in Wonderland of Talk Radio, the Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here to Mr. Chris Norton about his group called Disband, a group that believes the wearing openly of wedding bands in public is a religious statement, it's a violation of the separation of church and state, and impedes or otherwise prejudices his movements, his interactions, and his life, as well as the lives of other people. And you cited a couple of Supreme Court cases. I haven't looked at them, but I promise you that I will.
I want to ask you a question, Mr. Henry. It's kind of off the point. You call yourself the Alice in Wonderland of, are you ever afraid that there people think it's some, like a show for gays or?
No, I'm not afraid of that, man. But that brings me to a point about what you were saying to that young lady who's a lesbian is about to get married. If that lady, if they ban wedding rings like you want them to, then it wouldn't be an issue. She wouldn't wear one. But then you'd walk up to her and talk to her, and you'd find out she's a lesbian.
No, but that's why we did propose in the literature that there is some outstanding symbol on them when they go into a bar. See, the lesbians are different. They're married, but I don't want them to wear a wedding band because I do want to talk to them. And to be honest with you, and I don't mean to take up too much time, but I have been a bed with a lesbian, you know, because I'm good looking and I've been able to, you know, thank God I've been able to turn one or two of them.
But you're not turning any. Let's stick to the point here, okay? What do you mean an outward symbol?
If there was something they could be required to wear. Right?
Now, you understand that in Nazi Germany, homosexuals had to wear these pink triangles and...
Mr. Henry, I'm not talking about Nazi Germany. I'm not, you know...
Well, that's what was required, wearing something.
I'm just saying it protects me. It's not to put them in a concentration camp. They can do anything they want. It protects me from going up to her and having her shutting me down. You know, no guy wants to go up to a woman and have her shut you flat down, you know.
All right. That's off the point, exactly. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call we have on the line from Kentucky. It's Kimbra. Kimbra, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Good.
This guy is just all over the map here. I mean, he doesn't want women to wear rings, but he wants the lesbians to be marked. Okay.
I'm only saying.
Let me talk for a minute. You've talked plenty, okay? First of all,
I'm trying to understand. I'm just saying, I'm giving you a compliment.
For other people's
opinions. Okay, let
be quiet.
Yeah, I want the lady, let the lady talk, Chris.
Be quiet for a minute, okay? A wedding ring is a symbol of love in between two people. Okay, and it is a sign to the rest of the world of their love, and it's also a sign to you that a woman doesn't necessarily want to be talked to. So that's what
it's been my experience. It's been my experience.
Well, you know what? Your experience is in a little bitty small box. I don't know how old you are, but you are not very experienced in life.
Well, ma'am,
because that's why I live
in Los
Angeles. You know what?
Angeles.
You're not
you live
listening.
In Louisville.
Your mouth
you
is running, and you can't hear when your mouth is running.
Like, for instance, if I wanted to talk to you, because you sound exotic.
What do you mean she sounds exotic? What are you saying?
Exotic.
Exotic.
Okay, if you'll be quiet for a minute, you might learn something. The reason
are you currently wearing a religious symbol, or how do you do that?
Let her finish, Chris, please.
All right.
The reason why most women wear... Oh, my gosh.
Go ahead. I'm trying to listen to you.
We already know you're a nut. And you know what? You're the kind of person. Well,
why am I not? When I'm talking about separation of church and state. Okay.
No, you're wearing religion on your hand and everything. There is no separation.
You can't shut me down by calling me a name. You have to argue the facts. Or the facts of it.
The fact is that you are asking other people to be limited because you are afraid that you can't talk to every woman out there. They don't want you talking to them. That's the reason why they have a ring on their finger.
Well, yeah, they have that, but it's religion. They are not allowed to do that.
No, it's not. It's a sign of love. Most people don't put it on because of God. They put it on because they're in love with another person.
You can't say that for sure. You know that it's about... You can't say that. You know that it's religion.
You can't say it either.
Yes, I can, because everybody... Where do they get married? Hello, in a church. Thank you.
No,
boy,
not everyone gets married in a church.
Well, that was easy.
Lots of people get married by a court or a justice or a synagogue or a mosque.
That's not religion? Oh, wow, I didn't know that was not religion, a synagogue and a mosque. Okay,
you
learn something new every day.
Well, the point here, Chris, is what?
This lady, you know, she says that I got a limited. She's living in Louisville, Kentucky, which I'm sure is a very nice place, but I'm in Hermosa Beach, California. I go to the Rusty Pelican every night. I see all these tasty women, and you can't talk to them or anything.
Because they're married.
Yeah, but why are they wearing a symbol?
Go talk to single women that don't have a ring on.
If they don't want me to talk to them, how come married women sleep with guys like me? Oh, that's another point that I've made that you have no response to.
I don't know why anyone would sleep with you, honestly.
Well,
you probably talk them to death.
You know what? If you saw me, you'd be ready for it. I mean, I'm hot looking. Okay.
Well, look at it. Here's the point, you know.
She's all laughing. You know why she's laughing? She's laughing because if she did see me, she would want to jump it. You would.
Chris, you're being laughed at now.
I know, because I know that it's a concept that most people don't get, that having a wedding ring on is wearing a religious symbol, and that violates the American, you know, way of life. And she's got her ring on, you know.
I don't have a ring on.
Have you had to have your ring resized since you picked up all that weight?
Okay, that was uncalled for.
What?
Have you had to have your ring resized since you picked up all that weight?
And when I look at men, I am looking for a single man. And I first thing I do is if I see a man has a ring on, I do not look at him and I do not talk to him. Because
I am looking for a single man. Right. Can you tell me roughly what the food bill is for you so that, you know, if a guy, you should have that ready.
What are you talking about?
All right, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it very much. There were good points that you're making, Kimber. Let's go to another call. Here is Stacy on the Phil Hendry Show. Stacy, you're on with Chris Norton. Good evening.
Yes. A couple of things. Two things. One, regarding religion, the Civil Rights Act protects certain rights in this country. From being discriminated against. Religion is one of those rights. The president, and the judicial system will not contradict, and neither will they go against the provisions of the civil rights. If they attempt to tamper with that, I strongly believe that would lead to a civil war in this country.
What are you talking about? They're always taking crosses down when they put them up for Christmas.
They will not hazard the repealing of certain provisions of the Civil Rights Act, religion being one of them.
Look, just because you watch Law and Order once a week doesn't mean, the Constitution of America.
The cases that you were speaking about, I would wager that those are more than likely specifically regarding specific details that are not necessarily generalized throughout the entire population. So they might have gone
to the lady's question, Ms. Randy, when she gets done sometime this year.
Would you let the lady...
Thankfully,
Stacey, are you an attorney?
Stacey? Is
Stacy, you have to. This is Phil. This is Phil. Are you an attorney? I wanted to ask you.
I am not an attorney.
Are you there, ma'am? Oh, okay. You sound very, very, you sound very well versed.
I want to ask the lady a question, Mr. Henry. I don't know why, but I sense some sexual tension between us.
I only have a few minutes on my mobile phone, and I don't want the phone to disconnect.
Sexual tension between you and her?
Between you and Stacy, yeah. I wonder if she senses it, too.
The other thing is, what you need to understand about rings
and religion. Can I go get a Coke or something while she's talking?
I want you to listen to her.
Okay.
Number one, a ring is not necessarily a religious symbol.
Would you be quiet?
A ring is something... Is that is in other words,
up a, beer here if you don't
a ring or a
go
book
ahead.
Or a necklace or a rosary bead, all of these are neutral objects. All of these are neutral objects.
The
they hold
the Bud
no
Malt,
spiritual or religious value
I got a whole
in and of themselves. Religion
Bud Malt?
Is strictly a human phenomenon. Religion only holds sway based on
harsh.
The spiritual importance that the individual human being places upon it. So a ring,
right.
A book, beads,
she's
necklaces,
yes,
clothing,
is.
Rituals,
I got you.
Altars, buildings, these types of things, songs,
hymns, white, man,
these types of
the
things
bullet,
are
man.
Neutral yeah. Objects. The ring is
right,
simply a tradition. That's
she's
all it is. Anyone
back,
can wear a ring. Anyone can
exactly.
Wear a necklace. A ring
you're
does
done,
not necessarily hold
over
religious sway. The religion...
I understand.
Comes into play with within
the
person
the
and the being of the human phenomenon.
Logan?
It is only
Josh
the human being that
okay.
Gives importance to religion.
Thank you, Stacy. He's not even listening to you. He hasn't even listened
I'm
to you. He's walked away from the phone.
Him.
But I know, but I appreciate your points. Very, very.
I'm speaking to your listeners.
Yeah, yes, ma'am, and I appreciate
Amen.
Your points very much. Very well made. 877-876-PHIL.
You didn't hear what she said, man. She was talking all kind of smack, and you're...
I was trying to listen to her while you were asking your friend where the Bud Malt was. They don't even make that stuff anymore.
Excuse me, but yes, they do, Mr. Henry. It's available at a couple of different places.
I'm not interested. I want to get to another phone call here. I got Johnny in Missouri. Johnny, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Where is he there? There's Johnny. What's going on, Johnny? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I think this guy's a complete sleazeball, and there's a deeper psychology that's in this. Is that
you know, everybody's calling me names? I haven't called anybody any names.
Girls,
you know,
man, you can't get girls, and it started like that.
I'm on the case every night
behind why you think you know you can't get girls, and then you know to point out a wedding ring on a woman's finger. Yeah,
exactly.
It's ridiculous.
It's religion, man. It's religion, man. I don't know. Maybe you were brought up to believe that religion can just run roughshod over people, but
people
it's not
laughing.
Allowed to.
Oh, man. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, let me tell you what, man. On a typical Friday night, you and I going out, okay? We're going headhunting. Dude, they'd be all over me. You'd still be like, you know, offered to buy beers by this time to some fat ranchero chick.
Okay, what's the point of this conversation?
I'm not even saying that about you. But
yeah, you are, man. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're saying I can't get women. Well, that's not the point at all, man. I got all the women I need. I'm telling you, they're walking in to my place, to my crib, and they're wearing their religion on their finger, and I'm saying, where do they get off doing that?
So do you own the bar?
Because they're married. Because it's in a bar.
Yeah, I own it, man.
You own it?
Hey, no. The religious people own everything, man. They go everywhere with their religion on their hand. They own everything. They own the church.
They
own the bar.
Married?
They own the parking lot, man.
Married?
They own the supermarkets. They do everything they want, and they got guys like you. Are you married, dude?
I'm not married. I actually have a girlfriend,
You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, for 2 years.
How do you know? How do you know you have a girlfriend if you don't stick some religious symbol on her finger to make sure she, you know, if she runs into me, she doesn't climb it up, you know, up my crib?
Hey, man, you know, what's with this crude conversation here, climbing it up in your crib?
This dude is all about wearing symbols. I just wonder why he didn't stick one on his girlfriend's finger. Yeah.
It's a symbol of commitment. If you want to believe
all
in
right.
religion, man, that's your...
All
look
right.
the other way, dude.
Hey, dude, if it isn't religion, then how come they don't let gays marry? Because they say it's marriage and it's religion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, again. I'm sure that has a lot to do with
again.
The politics of the bar owners.
All right.
Man, that's a whole
All right, Johnny, thank you.
Buddy.
No, same topic, man. Same topic, different, city.
Whatever. Okay, thanks a lot, Johnny, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Chris Norton from Disband. On the wearing of religious, and he's got me saying it now.
Yeah, see, you're influenced by him. I could tell. I could notice that it's going on to the whole hour.
I'm not influenced. He says he's wearing, the wearing of a wedding ring is a religious symbol and therefore violates the separation of church and state. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show, back in a moment.
I've been watching you.
Well, don't watch me.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show each and every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And coming up with the program, we're going to be talking more about health care. We've got this situation with kids getting fat and what's the best way to deal with them. We'll have Vernon Dozier on to talk with us about that. People in West Virginia ain't getting enough sleep. What's that about? But right now we have Chris Norton in our final segment talking about Disband, a group of single men who want to get rid of wedding rings because they are a religious symbol and thus separate church, do not separate church and state. Rachel in Nashville, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Rachel?
Hello?
Rachel? Yes, ma'am, yeah. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say
Hi.
This is absurd. This whole conversation is absurd. I can't believe we're devoting, this... attention to it. This man is disgusting.
I want to say something to you, Stacey. It's interesting because I sensed that there was some kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it now, a sexual tension between you and me right away.
Oh, hush. Listen, you're...
Seriously.
You keep bragging about the fact that you have all these women coming to you. You say yourself you're an adult film. Good women are scripted to be with you.
Am I off base?
I can't see any woman wanting to hear anything coming out of your mouth. It makes no sense.
Well, see, the fact that you were drawn to call me, though, tells me that there's a sexuality that's going on,
Well, what's that got to do with the wedding band?
You can just hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. I'm sort of working my game a little bit here. And
oh, come on, man.
No, but this is my point. This lady is married. Okay, are you married, ma'am? Are you wearing your little slavery band? Okay. All right, so you wear your little religious. If I walk up at you, say at a local bar there and wherever you live,
disgusting.
I have a sinus condition, I'm sorry, but let's try it out, okay? I'm walk up to you, you're sitting there, I go, and this is what I would say. Well, why is she laughing?
All right, go ahead. Try it. Try your, work your game. You're on the phone.
Please.
If I walk up to her, I say, hey, you got to be, you have
he
to
doesn't
do
have
right.
game. Look
say,
at this.
What's going on? No. I'd say, what's going on? And you'd say, hello, and you'd wave your little wedding band. To me, that would be you saying, see,
That would be me telling you to take a hike and walk
away.
It's
blocking me. It's blocking you from sitting down and learning more about another human being. See, what that ring does is it keeps you from learning more about a fellow human.
Sometimes people go out because they want to have fun with their friends. They don't want to be approached by people. Some people
exactly.
who are not even married wear a ring just to keep people like you away from them.
Yeah, and guess what? Some women take it off before they leave the house. Hello. What's up now? What's up now, And so what I'm saying is that little religious symbol that's on your finger keeps you and me from maybe, getting down to some serious discussion of...
There's no discussion to
how you
want to
wrap your night up. You never can tell. If I said to you, for instance, hey, Stacey, how you doing? My name is Chris.
What I'm saying is you're way off point now. You're hitting on this chick.
No, I'm telling her. That if he had her wedding band on, she wouldn't be able to find out about, I am. I'm very sassy. But I also sense that she has a sexual tension, too, and a sexuality between us.
You're disgusting.
Okay, so what about it, man?
And so if I went over, I said, hey, how you doing? My name's Chris. I know you're wearing your little religious symbol, but, can I get you another drink?
You'd say what?
That's your name?
Yeah.
My word.
Tell me, Gil Gates, she's right.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying, does she want to have another drink? But you got to say it in a way that's, you know, that it has a sense. What do you think is so funny? You see, she thinks she's
you
laughing
make it
because
so
of the
easy,
sexual tension.
So like,
dude,
no.
I don't know what you mean by sexual tension. She's laughing at you.
Yeah, she digs me, but she doesn't. She's all laughing about it because she's embarrassed because she's married and her husband's probably standing there, you know, with a, you know, cleaning his gun or something.
Oh, that's great, man.
Well, that's my experience.
All right.
But I would say, hey, or whatever her name, I forget what your name is, Susie or something.
Yeah.
Hey, want to get a drink?
Yeah, that's real sexy, man, remembering her
yeah.
name.
Real good.
Okay, thank you very much. 8778. Thank you, Chris. We got to take a break. I appreciate it. Chris Norton from Disband on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier. In another hour, we'll be back with big, big news, including a jury awarding a radio contestant survivor $16 million because they killed her. They killed the girl in the contest.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me just,
I'll just finish up and say, you know, I disagree with Mr. Brady.
Finally tonight, although it pains me to say this, Jon Stewart, Comedy Central, he was right.
You're a single mom of a teenage son
yes.
who's 18.
We're going to prevent a lot of students from low-income families to be able to afford to come to
I have met before from behind.
Now, isn't that lovely?
Burning hell
made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new...
Our world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the News Talk and Entertainment Show where reality is the bitch, the Alice in Wonderland, and through the looking glass of talk radio. Coming up, UCLA students protest tuition hike. Senator Kerry's daughter has been arrested for some sort of misfeasance. I believe it was a DUI, bud.
Yeah, she blew a 1-0.
Don't smile when you get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget that every night we have a... Oh, you know what I forgot to do? We'll bring Ted on here in a second. Every night that we have a... radio show. We also have a live streaming video and audio feed of that show on our website. Phil Hendry Show. Turn off the thing. We're going to bring on Ted here in a minute. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and check out the live streaming video and audio.
Portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell. Come on down. We have got that slow roasted rib. It's a rib. What is the name of that? It's a rib. It's a prime rib. That's it. How do you spell prime?
Ted Bell joins us for this portion of the program on the Phil Hendry Show. How do you spell prime?
Yeah, you know something, Phil? It's interesting. I've got a series of cue cards that I use here before I come on the program, and somebody spell the word prime, and it's, I'm not blaming them. I should know products that I've got in my own restaurant. But we're having a very interesting night tonight. New Year, or excuse me, Thanksgiving's coming up, and we have got Ted's of Beverly Hills going to be open all day on Thanksgiving. So if people are interested in coming down and spending their Thanksgiving with us, the prime rib room is wide open. We'll have our usual salad bar, which of course we get a lot of people confused. It's not an all you can eat. We don't do that, and. Our restaurant, I think, is a very classy place, but we don't do all-you-can-eat, and I want people to know that coming in, that they dress appropriately. But Ted's of Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills, on Rodeo Drive, we certainly will hope they join us for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there was a story here, Ted, that we wanted to talk to you about because it had to do with tipping.
Absolutely.
And tipping, of course, is the way a great many waiters and waitresses and so forth... Here it is, right here, as a matter of fact, make their living.
That's not necessarily the case. I think tipping is, if you want to know, Phil, what tipping is about, I can tell you. There's a misconception about tipping, and I've been in the restaurant business now for some, going on 30 years, after we took the business up with my father, who was, as you know, very ill, and he had a drinking problem, and that's the way some families go. Some people have to deal with a recession. We had to deal with a father who had an alcohol problem, but we were able to resurrect the business that he had almost ruined. and put our life into it. And so I understand every aspect of the business.
All right, well, what were you going to say? What is tipping?
Tipping, Phil, is a way for the customer to feel that they have extended themselves, that they have done something good, that they have gone above and beyond. They've come into the restaurant, they've sat down, they've had a meal, they've paid their bill, and they see the waiters and the waitresses, and most cases they're living a better life than those people. In most cases, they're making more money than those people. The customer wanted to feel better about having people bring them food, and they just generally wanted to feel better about themselves, because the experience of coming into a restaurant, believe it or not, Phil, we found this out in research, the experience of coming into a restaurant for most people is a demeaning experience for a lot of people. They feel as if they don't deserve it, because what's happening is you're ordering food that ordinarily you have to cook, and there was a time that you had to go out and kill it, and then they're having it served to them, and that certainly brings up guilt feelings. How do you help people who are sitting down in your restaurant feel better about themselves so that they are not sitting there depressed? You allow them to tip.
But the tip, as we know, let me just say this before I, because we have this story.
You were mentioning a story, and I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I asked you a question. It's okay. It was an evening out that college students Leslie Pope and John Wagner will long remember. Not only did they get what they called lousy service, they got handcuffed and they got arrested all over a $16.34 tip. Now, I want to go to the audio that we've got here, because I do have some audio of the students talking about this. NBC Television in Philadelphia actually did a report on this arrest. And these kids apparently claimed that they had bad service. And they were with a half a dozen friends at a place called the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And so the establishment apparently...
Well, I think it's that Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And I'm making a joke, but...
No, it's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
All right, you know... every time I hear Bethlehem and it's the holiday season, I'm thinking somebody stiffed someone on a tip where Jesus was born. I got to make a comment about that.
All right. Well, they were with a half a dozen friends at the Lehigh Pub in this Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So the establishment tacked what it called a mandatory 18% gratuity onto the bill of about $73, according to reports. They refused to pay because the service was terrible, and so the establishment called the police. And they said they had to find their own napkins and cutlery while the waitress caught a smoke. They had to ask for the bar for soda refills. In other words, they got no service at all. So here is NBC Television in Philadelphia reporting on the experience here of Leslie Pope and John Wagner at this pub.
The couple was with six friends at the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month, where after dinner, they refused to pay a mandatory 18% gratuity for what they say was lousy service. They say not only did they have to wait almost an hour for their order of chicken fingers and fries, but Pope says she had to seek out napkins and silverware for the table.
And at this point, I'd become really annoyed because they'd already gone up to the bar myself to have my soda refilled because the waitress never came back.
Pope says when the $73 bill came, the group paid for the food, drinks, and tax, but refused to cough up the mandatory gratuity for parties of six or more. When she explained to the bartender in charge why, she says he took their money, then called police.
So you got a comment on that, Ted?
Well, again, I got to fall back on what I know as a restaurant owner, that the tip is primarily to make that individual who's being served feel better. When someone throws a few quarters on the table and they think they're actually helping someone make a living, you got to kind of laugh at that.
Well, how do you handle it? You heard this.
Well, we have a mandatory tip.
You have a mandatory tip.
Oh, yeah, we tack on a mandatory 50% on every single bill. So that people know that. We will say to them, here is the tip that is mandatory, and of course, what I'm thinking is, this is so you can feel better about yourselves. Go ahead, and you won't have to leave money on the counter. We just go ahead and tack it on, and then they feel better that they are being told this is the tip. They can pay their tip, and they can walk out of there feeling like human beings, like a lot of customers want to.
So, and then you divvy the tip money up at the end of the night, right?
Well, No. What we do with the tip, you got to understand, that is a mandatory tip on the tab, because customers expect you to want them to tip. And most people feel a little weird not tipping. And so what we say is, here's what you're going to tip, and they are very happy to pay that.
But what I'm saying is, when you tack a tip on like that, do you divvy it up?
Well, let me tell you how we do it. My job is primarily, I'm the owner, I'm the manager, I'm the administrator of a restaurant. That my job should only entail managing the restaurant, managing the accounts, taking deliveries on supplies, and making sure the entire operation runs. But what I also do, which is not a part of my job description, I go table to table, I meet people, I shake hands. We have the prime rib room, which is where a lot of Hollywood people will come in and have a drink after they're done, making their TV movies and all of this. That's not part of my job description. So the tip money that we tack on to the bill will go to me. But that isn't what tips are about.
But you don't share it with the staff.
Yeah, but you're missing the point.
What am I? You're saying
people don't tip. They don't care whether the money gets to the waiter or not. They don't care whether it gets to who it's supposed to be. They just want to know that they tipped. And so what restaurants are doing really, Bill, is just making people feel better about sitting down and having someone come up and serve them food because they, for whatever reason, they don't eat at their home. Maybe they don't know how to cook. Maybe they don't know the first thing about preparing a meal. Maybe they don't know what a grocery store is. I don't know. But they come into a restaurant, and someone's got to feed them. And so the tip was designed so those people can feel a little bit better about themselves. See?
Well, then what you're basically saying is the following. The lousy service that these college students got...
Well, it's lousy service, but it doesn't have anything to do with a tip. You're going to tip. If they tell you it's a mandatory tip, then you're going to tip. Because it's a mandatory, it's part of the bill, you see?
Even if the service stinks?
You are tying the tip to service, and you're tying the tip to the service. The tip has nothing to do, anybody in the restaurant business, and I think anyone listening to your program tonight, and that would mean probably everybody who's ever been in a restaurant, can tell you that they feel good just being able to leave money because they sat down and they had to have somebody come and serve them food. Almost as if you're an infant,
Well, wait a minute. Now, if I go to a restaurant, I'm not an infant. I'm going to a restaurant.
Yeah, okay. Why are you going to a restaurant?
I'm going to a restaurant because I like the idea of restaurant. I like restaurants. I like to sit down. I like to look at the menu. I like to look at the surroundings.
You're a very rare breed. Most people go into restaurants because they want to have something to eat.
Of course I want to have something to eat. I understand that. But I'm not necessarily in there because I don't know how to shop for groceries.
Right. But the point being, do you feel good when you tip? Do you feel good when you tip?
Yes, of course I do.
All right. That's why the tip was designed, so that you can feel
the couple
good
was with six friends at the Lehigh Pub in Bethlehem last month.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We got a problem. I apologize, Ted. We had some audio fire. Go ahead.
That threw me off.
Yeah, you were saying...
It threw me off.
All right, but the essential point...
The essential point is, the kids in Bethlehem, wherever that is, they didn't get good service, they did get good service. They had napkins, they didn't have napkins. Cutlery, it doesn't make any difference. The tip is built in. You will tip whether they come to this table with botulism-ridden food. Now, that's wrong, I understand that, and of course, the restaurant is going to be cited for that. But I don't care if the food isn't edible, you got to tip it part of the bill. It is a long-standing tradition, the tip. It has to do with making those people feel better. And I can tell you one thing right now, Bill. If those students had tipped, if those students had gone ahead and coughed up, whatever the few scraps of pennies they had that they were being asked for, they'd feel a lot better about themselves today instead of the bourgeois, spoiled, rotten brats that won't even tip a server that wanted a cop of smoke. And I can tell you, I think it's wrong, and I think...
Yeah, but you're not even sharing your tips with your servers.
If I got to repeat myself...
No, I know. You're saying that the tip, it doesn't matter whether you share them with the servers, so why are you keeping them?
because I'm doing a job that I'm not supposed to do. I'm going table to table to make sure people are happy. I'm the owner of the restaurant. I should only be sitting in an office on the phone and doing that. But instead, I got to go table to table and say, did the food arrive? Are you eating? Has it been an hour? You know, and trying to smooth over any bad feelings created by those servers. So, to be honest with you, Phil, the tip, I keep the tip because it makes more sense because I'm doing something above and beyond. The server is just doing what they're doing. But, again, it doesn't matter to the people leaving the tip.
Well, I can tell you...
It doesn't matter to the person leaving the tip. They don't care if you took the tip money and threw it out in the middle of the street for cars to run over it. It doesn't matter.
I can tell you it would matter to me.
Phil, I've been doing your show long enough to know that you are always going to come up with a contrary point of view, because I know that that's how you get the ratings and the controversy.
No, I'm telling you, if I knew that the tip money that you were charging me was not going to the servers, but was instead going to you or just anybody, it would bother me.
Well, you apparently don't eat in restaurants that much because that's not what most people tip for. They tip just to feel better about themselves. It's an ego-driven society, and I give people an opportunity to walk out of a restaurant without feeling as if they're the scum of the earth for having someone much poorer than them spoon feed them their dinner.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell talking about the art of the tip and these young people that were stiffing the servers on their tip in Bethlehem. People don't tip because they want to help the server. People tip because they want to feel better about themselves. We'll be back with Ted Bell and the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're not getting about what I'm saying.
Ted Bell, our guest here on the Phil Hendry Show from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and Ted and I have been talking about tipping as it relates to the story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where some college students decided they weren't going to tip because they didn't get very good service. And I've heard your point, Ted, about tips not being for necessarily the customers. We got some phone calls to get to.
Before you get to the phone, let me explain something, Phil, because I think this is very, very key, and I think people are missing this. I've owned a restaurant for a long time. My father, God bless him, had a drinking problem, as you know. And I'll never forget, my father died on the same golf course that Bing Crosby died on. My dad died on the 18th hole of a course in Spain. And he died of a heart attack on the 18th green. Do you want to know the people that were with him? He had a bet going into that hole. It was a carryover for, I think, something like a couple of $100 on skins. When he collapsed and died on that green, they went through his pockets looking for the skins money. And
oh, God, what a story, Ted.
But it brings up the point. And the point is this. I had a young server. Her name was Bernadette. And she was leaving one night. And this is before we had the mandatory tip where I just put 15% on the tab and people paid it and felt better. And I said, did you have a good night tonight, Bernadette? She said, yes, I did, Mr. Bell. I said, how much did you make? She said, I think she said she made about $300. And I said, and how did you make that? She said, well, good service. I said, above and beyond what you're already being paid for? And she said, I think so. I said, well, what did you do above and beyond what you're being paid for? She said, I brought them their... And now I could see her starting to sweat because she couldn't think really of what it was she did that was above and beyond. And I said, so you really didn't do anything above and beyond? And she said, no, sir, I didn't. And you know what that young lady did to her everlasting credit? She reached into her little apron, and she pulled out the $300 and gave it to me. And I remember the honesty of that young lady to this day. And that's when we put in the mandatory tip. And
what did you do with the money?
I didn't. What did you say?
What did you do with the money? She gave you her $300 in tips?
I put it in the glove box in my car. I don't know. I might have used it for valet money. That's not the point.
Well, you're saying that you take the 15% that you charge for tips and you keep it because it doesn't matter if it goes to the servers because people only tip to feel better.
Yes. times am I going to say? Do I got to say it until the tears come out of my eyes? Yes.
No, not until the tears come out of your eyes.
Well, I'm going to start crying here in a minute because what I'm telling you is people want a tip because they feel guilty that they sat there like a plantation owner watching the, you know, the indentured servants hop too. So to me, it's a small price to pay.
All right, 877-876 Phil, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with, we got Shannon. Shannon, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Shannon, go ahead.
Hi, I've been a server for about 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand how the owner of a restaurant is stealing from his server.
Whoa. Now, hold on. That's not stealing. How's that stealing?
You're taking the tip money that was left for your server, and you're putting it in your own pocket.
Well, here's the thing, Shannon. They don't leave the tip money on the table. It's tacked onto the bill. See?
So you're taking the server. So it's supposed to go to their paycheck, but yet they're not getting that actual money?
Well, you see, how can you give them tips when they're only doing what they're paid to do? Like that girl Bernadette, I said to her, what did you do? And she started to sweat. She was sweating blood. I mean, this girl was so nervous because she couldn't think of what it was she was doing above and beyond that she began to sweat big droplets.
I'm just saying, going over and over and beyond, you're saying that as an owner of a restaurant, you deserve to sit in your office and just kind of sit there. No, you want the whole experience, and you want your servers to be happy. Therefore, their customers are going to be happy. Therefore, people are going to come back. If a customer...
World-famous...
Ted Bell, our guest here on the Phil Henry Show from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and Ted and I have been talking about tipping as it relates to the story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where some college students decided they weren't going to tip because they didn't get very good service. And I've heard your point, Ted, about tips not being for necessarily the customers. We got some phone calls to get to.
Before you get to the phone, let me explain something, Phil, because I think this is very, very key, and I think people are missing this. You know, I've owned a restaurant for a long time. My father, God bless him, had a drinking problem, as you know. And I'll never forget, my father died on the same golf course that Bing Crosby died on. My dad died on the 18th hole of a course in Spain. And he died of a heart attack on the 18th green. Do you want to know the people that were with him? He had a bet going into that hole. It was a carryover for, I think, something like a couple of $100 on skins. When he collapsed and died on that green, they went through his pockets looking for the skins money. And
oh, God, what a story, Ted.
But it brings up the point. And the point is this. I had a young server. Her name was Bernadette. And she was leaving one night. And this is before we had the mandatory tip where I just put 15% on the tab and people paid it and felt better. And I said, did you have a good night tonight, Bernadette? She said, yes, I did, Mr. Bell. I said, how much did you make? She said, I think she said she made about $300. And I said, and how did you make that? She said, well, good service. I said, above and beyond what you're already being paid for? And she said, I think so. I said, well, what did you do above and beyond what you're being paid for? She said, I brought them their... And now I could see her starting to sweat because she couldn't think really of what it was she did that was above and beyond. And I said, so you really didn't do anything above and beyond? And she said, no, sir, I didn't. And you know what that young lady did to her everlasting credit? She reached into her little apron, and she pulled out the $300 and gave it to me. And I remember the honesty of that young lady to this day. And that's when we put in the mandatory tip. And
what did you do with the money?
I didn't. What did you say?
What did you do with the money? She gave you her $300 in tips?
I put it in the glove box in my car. I don't know. I might have used it for valet money. And that's not the point.
Well, you're saying that you take the 15% that you charge for tips and you keep it because it doesn't matter if it goes to the servers because people only tip to feel better.
Yes. times am I going to say it? Am I going to say it until the tears come out of my eyes? Yes.
No, not until the tears come out of your eyes.
Well, I'm going to start crying here in a minute because what I'm telling you is people want a tip because they feel guilty that they sat there like a plantation owner watching the, you know, the indentured servants hop too. So, to me, it's a small price to pay.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with, we've got Shannon. Shannon, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Shannon, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I've been a server for about 5-6 years. And I don't understand how the owner of a restaurant is stealing from his servers.
Hold on. That's not stealing. How's that stealing?
You're taking the tip money that was left for your server, and you're putting it in your own pocket.
Well, here's the thing, Shannon. They don't leave the tip money on the table. It's tacked onto the bill. See?
So you're taking the server. So it's supposed to go to their paycheck, but yet they're not getting that actual money?
Well, you see, how can you give them tips when they're only doing what they're paid to do? Like that girl Bernadette, I said, what did you do? And she started to sweat. She was sweating blood. I mean, this girl was so nervous because she couldn't think of what it was she was doing above and beyond that she began to sweat big droplets.
I'm just saying, going over and over and beyond, you're saying that as an owner of a restaurant, you deserve to sit in your office and just kind of sit there. No, you want the whole experience, and you want your servers to be happy. Therefore, their customers are going to be happy. Therefore, people are going to come back. If a customer taking the tip from the server, regardless of if they had a good experience or not, they left the tip for the server. They understand.
First of all, I want to ask your credentials, because if you're working at a and you sound young, if you're working at a Chuck E. Cheese or you're in a mouse costume, it's a little different, right?
Well, they get paid a little bit more than $2.13 an hour, do they not?
No, I'm talking about you, where you work. Or do you wear a costume, or is it a pizza place for kids, or what is it?
No, I'm 22 years old, and I now currently work in a bar.
She's a woman.
College. Oh, I'm sorry. I heard your voice. I thought you were in a rodent costume at a Chuck E. Cheese. I apologize. You do sound very youthful. I'm sure people told you that.
Yes, I have heard that. Okay. Yes.
Here's what I want to say. When you wait tables or tend bar, people are coming in to know what it's like to have you do what they tell you to do. Because that's how lousy their lives are. And after you serve them all that stuff, then they feel bad and they tip you. But
have
it
you
isn't about
before?
Them wanting...
Or have you just been thrusted in this amazing opportunity to take your daddy's business?
Well, get a load of the lady in the mouse outfit. You know, ma'am...
Well,
she
I'm
said
saying,
she doesn't wear the mouse
the
outfit.
Well, you really got a pair on you for walking around in a Chick-fil-A costume.
Can you have you ever served before?
Ma'am,
have you
I'm an owner of a
server's precision? Oh my gosh.
A server's precision? Ma'am, after 9/11, as you know, we had a security problem in this country. I instituted security procedures for our restaurant that would not scare our patrons, but at the same time would ensure the safety of our restaurant. I didn't know what to do. We began by dropping a quarter on the floor in the foyer of our restaurant so that naturally people are going to bend over to pick it up. I thought it was a good idea. Women would bend over. Well, then they said, you're looking up their dress. Okay, fine. What am I going to do then? So I had them come into my office. So I'm in my office a good 4 hours a night dropping quarters on the floor. I don't know what you want me to do.
Are you telling me that for 4 hours a night you're doing a security check for your restaurant?
That and other stuff. But it isn't my job to make sure that some deadbeat isn't going back to the salad bar that isn't a sizzler all you can eat, see? And I'm saying to Shannon, I'm sure you do a great job. If you worked for me, I'd love all the tips that you got. But I have to take them because you know that they don't care about you.
You don't
care about
take them. That is stealing from your servers.
Not if they're not doing anything above and beyond. If they're just bringing food out and making people feel better that they are pretending, you know, they're bringing food out like their wishbone at the chuck wagon, that's one thing.
But, Ted, you know, you're talking all around.
Do you tell them, hey, if you don't go over and beyond and this is what over and beyond means to me, I am going to take your money? No, because it wouldn't work for you.
What is above and beyond for you? What do you do besides get into the... Well, you don't get... Okay, so you don't work at the Chuck E. Cheese.
We've already established she works in a bar.
When I hear her voice, she sounds like she's in a costume.
Well, don't discriminate against me just because I have a higher-pitched voice.
I'm not discriminating. I'd hire you in a second to put on a wolf...
Well, I wouldn't work for you because you steal from me.
I'm not stealing from anyone, ma'am.
What would you consider, Shannon, above and beyond... your normal duties. What do you do in the evening at your job or in the afternoon, wherever it is, to, above and beyond?
You're constantly pre-dressing your tables. You're constantly cleaning the restaurant. You're constantly making sure everything's stopped. You're making sure that other customers and other service tables are happy.
Well, I don't. That doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
Pre-bussing the table. She said she's a bartender. That means she works behind the bar.
So she's wiping the bar down.
I work at a bar, but my bar has servers, and I've been working in restaurants ever since I could have a job.
I put you on the phone. Would you do me a favor, just please? Would you say good evening, Ted to Beverly Hills?
Excuse me?
Would you please just say the following phrase, good evening, Ted to Beverly Hills? Would you please just do that for me? Good evening, Ted to Beverly Hills.
No.
Yeah, see, she can't do it. And I'd have to steal her tips.
What?
That doesn't make any sense.
I gotta steal your tips. You can't even say Ted to Beverly Hills, and you're telling me you're pre-bussing tables? No. This will not stand. You're telling me that you're doing all this stuff, and when I ask you the simple thing, say, good evening, Ted to Beverly Hills, you're frozen. You're frozen with fear.
Shannon, I'm sure you do a great job.
Hear you. I'm sorry. My phone's breaking up, so I couldn't really...
All right. I appreciate your call. We'll let you go.
I wanted to say good evening, Ted to Beverly Hills.
She doesn't want to say that, and...
Okay, well, then I realized she can't even say that. I mean, if you clean the toilets and you help the valet parkers, that's going above and beyond. Beyond that, it's above me, you're beyond me. You know what I mean?
All right, Shannon, thank you very much. Thank you. Great call, and best of luck to you. 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell.
You know, I wanted to bring up, I sponsored this segment, and yet here you are. Thanks a lot, Shannon. Great call. Thanks a lot. The points that I am making...
Ted, look, when you asked the girl to say Ted's in Beverly Hills...
She couldn't do it, and she's telling me that she's, quote, pre-bussing a table? No, there's something really fishy about that, if you ask me, okay? Now, here's what I call going above and beyond. If you're a waitress, and yes, you also go in and sponge out a toilet, I know it sounds...
Oh, come on, man.
No, let me tell you something. That's really important.
Why don't you do it?
Why don't I do it, huh?
Yeah, why don't you do it?
So I'm supposed to go table to table smelling like one of those toilet cakes.
Well, you want it done. There's an old saying, do it yourself. Here is Kurt. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Kurt, with Ted Bell tonight. We're talking about tips. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Phil, I just wanted to thank you, man. I really enjoy your show and everything.
Thank you.
This gentleman here, as far as I'm concerned, he's totally out of line with doing a mandatory tip and not paying his servers or anything. I've got a question to ask him because I know that servers only get a certain amount of money and everything, and they depend on his tips, depend on the customer's tips. What does he pay the people that work at his restaurant?
I pay minimum wage.
You pay minimum wage?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So as far as I'm concerned, you're only giving them minimum wage, and you're expecting these people to go above and beyond what they're expecting
for their
to
tips.
Do, and you're only giving them minimum wage, and you're taking the tips because you've got them tacked on. Let me ask you a question.
I'm taking the tips because I'm the only guy in the restaurant who's doing a job above and beyond seems to be me. I'm going out and I'm talking to the customers, which I, on any given night, I'd much rather not do because you know how they drink. I'd rather be in my office reviewing prospective employees, etc.
Okay, let me ask you this then, because there's a very expensive restaurant here in the town where I live at, and the owner is a very awesome gentleman, and he has no problem whatsoever coming out and doing whatever he needs to do to greet his customers. I saw him serve. I saw him do a lot of things. Are you beneath that?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a little bit of a difference. I'm Ted Bell. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. No, I'm Ted Bell. This gentleman that you're talking about. But I'm Ted Bell. The gentleman you're talking about, I'm sure he's a great guy, and he's got a nice roadhouse or whatever he's got. But what I've got is a gold mine. I'm sitting on gold.
I understand that, but what
does that mean,
I'm
you're Ted
about,
Bell?
I've got a personalized license plate, you know.
Okay, all right, fine. That's all fine and dandy, but what you're trying to do is sit and say that you're above everybody else? Is this what you're trying to say? Because the gentleman that I'm sitting here talking about that owns this restaurant, it's definitely not a steakhouse. It's very elegant. They use real china, real silver, and everything like that. It's an extremely nice...
Do they have different place settings for each time of the day? Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they have china, they have silverware and everything, and it's an extremely nice dining place. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, looking at you, and you're paying your
I don't go
into a restaurant because I want to feel, you know, like I'm extraordinary just so I can get in there and watch the service and everything. I go into a restaurant because of the service. And when I tip somebody, I don't tip them, you know, just to make me feel good. I tip that person.
I wish you'd tell the truth, sir. It would be a lot better if you'd just be telling the truth here. You know you go in there because you want to see them scurry around.
And no, sir, you're wrong.
I'm saying it's normal. It's normal. I'm Ted Bell, so you're asking me. You're asking Ted Bell to do what?
No, I'm sorry.
What is this? I'm Ted Bell.
You're sitting there telling me I go into a restaurant because of number one.
You're going into the restaurant because you want to know what it was like to tell them, hey, you. Go get me a bowl of slop or whatever. And that's okay. I'm telling you, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
You're going to feel guilty.
Well, you know,
you're looking at it from a dollar standpoint, and I'm looking
You know who I am, right? I'm Ted Bell.
Ted, we know that you're Ted. I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to interrupt you, Kurt. I know that you're Ted Bell.
Well, so if you know I'm Ted Bell, why are you allowing him to ask me these questions?
Because they're good questions. That's why. They're very good questions.
You know, the fact of the matter is you're putting yourself like you're above.
Wow.
You're doing your employees a favor by, I'm paying you minimum wage, you know, and I'm getting all the tips and everything. And, you know, your ass is sitting on a gold mine, and you're sitting there basically stealing from your servers. And
they feel better when they let me have the money because they know that it wasn't about their service. It was about you coming in and feeling guilty that you were running them around like it was Gone with the Wind. And they want to feel...
I've never felt guilty being in a restaurant
You wouldn't feel guilty if you said to somebody, hey, Mammy, cook me up some flapjacks? You wouldn't feel guilty about that? Well, I would.
That's not what people say when they go into a restaurant. Yes, please, I would like the flapjacks, thank you very much. That's what normal, civilized human beings say.
But they're thinking. I'm trying to say what they're thinking. Hey, you, go get me, you know.
Kurt, you've made some excellent points.
You've lost the concept of, you know, you've got a service of people that know your reputation, know your restaurant and everything, and that's one of the reasons why I go in a restaurant, because I know their reputation, and I'm like this, if I go in, if the food's not good, the service is not good.
I got to ask you something, the guy that owns the restaurant, does he have a personalized license plate? No, he doesn't. That's the difference. There's many differences. He does? Or does it just seem like it? Like they gave him a license plate that said, I am a cook, or it was like, you know, but it was all an accident.
All right, Kurt, very good call tonight. I got to take a break. 877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Ted Bell, 877-876-PHIL, in a moment.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, but I'm Ted Bell. And that's God.
come back with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. We're talking about tips and tip money and the idea that you keep the tip money that is intended for your servers.
No, it's not intended for my servers. It's not intended. Let me explain to you, Phil.
We've got very little time. I want to get. Tell you what, we'll hold Ted over for the next hour here.
Yeah, as well you should, because I have not been allowed to give my side of this, and people have been.
I think you have, Ted.
No, I don't think I have, and I'm the sponsor of this segment. So is that...
All right, what did you want to say?
What I want to say is the following thing. You know this young man, this disc jockey who is on Sirius, Bubba the Love Sponge. You know this kid?
Yeah, Bubba, we're familiar with him.
All right, but you haven't met him.
No, I haven't met him.
Well, he happens to be a friend of mine. He comes into the restaurant, and Bubba was in 2 months ago, and I had the tip money from the night before that I collect for my services, walking the floor and meeting people, in many instances, who have had way too much to drink. And I pulled out a 20. I had a couple of cigars, Cohibas, which Bubba likes. And we went out to the patio that we have where the fire pit is. You know where the fire pit is? Right off the primary room, right?
Yes.
Okay. I lit both of our cigars with 20s from the tip money. Now, do you realize that the servers saw this and didn't say a word? Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that they understand.
No, that tells me that they're probably in fear for losing their jobs. What would you have done if they were to say something?
What do you mean if they were to say what? What are they going to say?
Hey, Mr. Bell, why are you lighting your cigar with tip money that you could be giving to us?
Well, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, because they're going to get fired.
Because they don't want to be rude to... I'm hearing my jingle.
We're going to go to the next hour.
They don't want to be rude to Bubba the Sponge. I mean, Bubba the, the Sponge.
Yeah, Bubba the Sponge. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Ted Bell on tipping.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And this just in, Oprah Winfrey will announce tomorrow that she's decided to end her show.
Is he staying his job, Congressman?
No.
So he's not coming clean with
I can't believe my ears. It was the Kennedy and Johnson administration.
Yesterday we told you about Sarah Palin kicking off her book tour.
I had a wet dream last night.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch. And on this show, it's a sort of Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of media and reality that we do each and every night. And we are going to welcome on again this evening Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted is talking to us this evening about tips, the story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where some college students stiffed the servers on their $16 tip because they said the service was lousy. The tip is built in, and that's kind of a different thing, you know. So they put it on the bill there, and they say, well, you know, you got to pay it anyway because that is the tip. But these people decided that they didn't like the service, and they were not going to pay for this service. And, again, we bring Ted on. So, Ted, in your essential philosophy is that...
My philosophy is that it's not my philosophy. This is still the way it is. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I love it when people tell me my business, and I'm not trying to lord over anybody, but I'm Ted Bell. You know who I am. I've got one of the greatest steakhouses in America. I know people don't tip for the servers. So when servers are telling me, hey, Ted, you know, you're stealing. They don't understand that nobody is tipping for their service. They're tipping so they can feel better about having just sat there and ordered another human being to feed them as if they're an infant who is just off the nipple and is now on solid food. As crazy as...
That is very, very difficult to believe.
I'm going to tell you a story, okay? And then you can say what you want.
I got to get to some calls, though.
I'm just going to tell you a story. you know this kid, the two guys from TV.
You were talking about Bubba the Love Sponge.
Not Bubba the. I'm not talking about the Love Sponge. I'm talking about this kid. You know these guys, Greg Gutfield and Andy Levy. You know them?
Yeah.
Okay, they were in. They're usually in New York. They were out here. It's a network meeting. Gutfield and Levy come in, and you know those two guys. They're looking around, their eyes casting around, and I know immediately what they want. So I got Bernadette and Sylvie. I waved them over, and the five of us went out back to the fire pit. And you know the girls are sitting there, and I passed out cigars, and I pulled a 50 out of my pocket.
You already told me that you lit cigars with a $20.
Well, this is a 50, so I guess it's a different story. Okay.
Fine.
And it's Gutfield and Levy. It ain't the sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
His name is Lover?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
All right. I lit all five cigars on a $50 bill.
All five?
I got Gutfield, Levy, the two girls, and mine.
All right, so you're feeding the girls. So, and you've got two servers there.
I got two servers, and they're laughing. They're laughing at me lighting cigars with tip money. Because the point that I've been trying to make with you and your listeners is the following. You can take a pocket full of tip money, and you could feed it to a goat. And the servers just keep walking around like, you know. And the reason being, they know, any professional server that works anybody that works in a rub joint of mine, I shouldn't say that, in one of my restaurants, they know that the tip money was left there so that the people who are eating my food that was served to them by individuals who ordinarily the patrons in my restaurant would never be served anything. They'd be serving. And yet there they are being served. The guilt is overwhelming, and so they want to drop some money. We just put it on the bill.
So you charge 15% so these people, so the guilt feeling they're having isn't as difficult.
Making it up, and I'm not making it up. I've been in the restaurant business. My father drank himself to death.
You know, you told me already about your dad and dying on the golf course, and guys were going through his pockets for the skins money.
Yeah, they were, you know. And I resolved that would never happen to me. I would never be found anywhere. I didn't mind where I'm found, but I'm not going to be found with money in my pocket, that's for sure. Well,
if you're taking tip money off of people...
And I put it in the glove box. Thank you.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Ted Bell here about tips. They aren't given to people because people want the server to know they did a good job. People give tips because they want to feel less guilty about ordering somebody around like an indentured servant. Here is Amanda on the Phil Hendry Show. Amanda in Newton, Massachusetts. Amanda, good evening, and go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell and Phil Hendry.
Hey, how you doing? I'd actually
fine,
like
ma'am.
To make a couple... My first point I'd like to make is... Now, going above and beyond...
I lit five cigars on that.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I was just saying that I lit five cigars on that 50. I was telling Phil.
I know that, yeah.
Okay. My point about going above and beyond for your customers in your restaurant, it's not about doing, you know, your daily job and doing something that impresses the manager. It's about doing something that impresses the customers. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Okay? I received an email... with my company that I was working at as a server. I worked for 9 years as a server. And they stated to me that they had had a bad day and they came in to have dinner to make themselves feel better. And their day had been completely shot by a bad real estate deal that had gone down. And they emailed my manager and my corporate company to say that my service made their day better after losing the house of their dreams. The things that I did, the things that I said, the way that I treated them made their day feel better. And I remember those customers, and I remember them leaving me an exceptionally large tip. And if my manager came over to me at the end of the night and said, okay, nice job, you made their day, now give me that money, I would have been absolutely appalled.
All right, now can I ask you a question, Amanda? This is Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell, and I want to ask you a question. Did you see the actual email on the computer, or was it printed off and given to you?
I saw the email in the computer, and I have it in my car at all times to remind me that I actually did something to make
somebody
pay.
Because you know those things are dummied up all the time so that servers will feel better and won't complain too much about, you know, getting stiffed on tips.
Wait.
Are you telling me?
No, they dummy that stuff up.
Hold on.
There's a whole company devoted to it.
Wait a second. Let's not be an alpha male for a second and let me talk for a second, okay?
No, I'm not being an alpha. I'm just telling you, they do dummy those things up to make you feel better.
A corporate company does not need to make me feel better about who I am just because I'm serving in a restaurant. I went to the top-ranked culinary institute in the United States to work in restaurants for the rest of my life, and I'm currently a high-ranked pastry chef. So I didn't do this because I had nowhere else to go. I did this because this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a server, and I loved being a server, and I loved being a server because it felt good when those customers knew that I did a good job and they tipped me for it. That's what makes you feel good.
But you don't really know how they feel because they dummy up the email, to make it look like somebody wrote it. But in fact, it was written by somebody at the Horn Institute.
What's the Horn Institute?
Where she said she went.
She went to a culinary institute.
I misunderstood her. I thought you were. Did you take music at any time?
I went to a culinary institute on the East Coast.
Okay. All right. I understand.
So I've been in restaurants since I was 15 years old.
She just said a culinary institute.
A culinary? Ted, can't you hear?
I can't understand the lady. I'm sorry.
You can't understand me when I'm saying a culinary?
If you said you went to a culinary institute, I'd ask you, what kind of a joint are you working in? I know what culinary is. Obviously, I do. And I would say that you are an outstanding server, regardless of whether anybody has ever said so. Obviously, you know your job, and they know you know your job, and that's why they dummy up the emails so you'll feel better and you won't leave and go somewhere else.
So you're telling me that no patron actually wrote an email?
It's very unlikely. Very unlikely. No, I've done it. Many
it's very
times.
Unlikely. Hey, the patrons. Wait a second.
Bernadette, come here. Look what they wrote about you.
Those patrons came back in and said, hey, did you get our email? And I said, yes. And you know what? At the same time, I was given something by the company for receiving that email as well. So it wasn't a dummy
Amanda,
email.
I know you're calling from the Boston area, and there's a very big SAG guild there. Those are actors, as you know. The Screen Actors Guild is in Boston. And it's very likely that two actors were hired to come in and have dinner.
You live out of reality, and I just want to make.
Are you kidding? Are you telling me that actually happens?
A lot of restaurants will do that when they don't want to lose good people like Amanda. They'll hire a couple of actors, put them into a costume, and they come in. Oh wow, the food's just great. You know,
this corporate company did not need to hire people to tell them the food was great. They're a corporate company; they've got plenty of people that go into their restaurant every single day, so they didn't need to hire anybody.
It could have been two people from the corporate office that you don't know. It could have been the owner of the restaurant.
The way that you talk about your customers, I'm sorry, but you lack respect for your customers. You're saying that your customers come into your restaurant just to order somebody around and feed them for a night to make themselves feel good. That's not why people go out to dinner. They don't go out to dinner and say, feed me, make me a sandwich. That's not why people go out to dinner.
That's what they're thinking. That's human nature. But we still serve them, and we go, yeah, thank you very much. And we grin, and we smile at the end of the night. You know as well as I do, Amanda. We curse their very lives and existence under our breath. But they, you know,
Ted, that it's true for some people, but it's not true for every customer. I have customers. I walked into a movie theater tonight, and a customer's son that I had, I haven't worked in this restaurant in 4 years, the son of one of these customers came up to me in this theater and said, hey, Amanda, you know who I am? I said, no. He said, I'm Karen's son. And then immediately I recognized him, and I said, oh, how's your mom doing? I'm sorry, but these people, you make an impression on these people that go out to dinner.
I would say it's not so much a tip, it's a guilt fee. You know what I mean by a guilt fee? It's a fee to free them from the guilt of having ordered you around like you're carrying someone's slop bucket.
So you think that? Wait a second.
Let's
put it into perspective. Okay, so you have a job as a server, and these customers come in and they say, "I would like to order this. Could you please get me some of this?" And then let's put it into perspective as like a real estate agent. You're going to the real estate agent, and you're saying, hey, I'm looking for this house, this house, this house. Does that person that's trying to buy a house feel guilty for ordering around that real estate agent by saying,
I don't know the real estate business. Gutfield and Levy came into my restaurant, and we were lighting $50 bills from the tip money, and they were howling with laughter. And you know,
you're letting the tip money of these people that you're paying minimum wage who can't afford their bills because we're in a recession right now, and you're out there in front of them, waving your $50 bill around, burning in front of them, and it's killing them. They're not going to say it because they're
You know, Amanda, you're a pastry chef. You're not a doctor, okay? So you're not changing lives here. All we're doing is we're serving them. You know, we're going into the soup bowl. We're throwing something in a bowl, throwing something on a plate, dropping it in front of them and saying bonjour or whatever French stuff you want to say. And
boy, Ted, it sounds to me like you hate your work.
Hate my work?
How could you enjoy, you know, you throw something on a plate, go out there, light $50 bills, ha, ha, ha. Hey, Bernadette and Sylvia, come on out here and sit in Gutfield and Levy's laps. I mean, what is that?
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
No, what is that, man? Those two girls are hired to serve. You got them sitting in laps.
Now, you hold the phone, friend. Hold the phone. Those guys spread a lot of money around in my place.
So you don't auction off your servers because they spend a lot of money at your place. They're human beings, and you have to treat them like human beings.
I'm not auctioning anybody off. I don't auction anyone off. There's a flat... not a flat fee. I was going to say that.
A flat fee?
I didn't say anything like that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Wow, well, I heard it too. I'm with you.
Hey, wait a second. I'm a sponsor on this program.
I heard you say there's a flat fee to have Amanda and Sylvia sit in your lap.
I didn't say my lap, did I? So I just got you on that one.
In a customer's lap.
I'm not going to sit on anybody's lap.
No, he's stuttering. Well, Amanda, before you sit on anyone's lap, obviously we'd have to have a... Now, I guess you're going to think I'm being rude, but I don't want you bruising people, you know. No, I'd have to get a good look at you. But the point that I'm making, and this...
No, you're not going to get...
What are your girlfriend? Oh, I get it.
We don't do that in Pennsylvania, do we?
Here we go. You got these diesels that are going to pull a knife on me, huh? You going to stick me?
No, I'm...
A diesel is going to stick me.
What's a diesel?
You know what I mean.
All right.
I was a server in a very respectable restaurant, so I don't have that look. Okay? My girlfriend was a server.
Are you a pastry chef or a lesbian or a doctor or what are you? Because you're changing professions as we speak. One minute you're telling me the psychology of lighting a $50 bill. The next minute you've got some diesel that's going to stick me with a prison-fashioned shank. Then
you know what, Amanda? Very good call, okay?
Well, here he goes again.
No, it was a very good call. I gotta move on. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. Would you not say diesel, please?
She just said that she's got a... God.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with the final segment with Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank God.
Phil Henry.
Do I get shanked and Amanda gets it? Oh, forget it.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This is Ted Bell. I'd like to invite you to my restaurant. I think that the way my restaurant has been portrayed on this show tonight has been unfair. And if you don't come to my restaurant as a result of this, I would understand that.
That's not fair.
Well, that's exactly what's happened.
You know what? I don't think that is fair. Get Ted Bell's lineup for me. I can't even hear you, man. I can't understand why you said that.
Because of the way that I've been treated on your program tonight, I would be shocked if I get one Christian soul in my restaurant tomorrow. And you called me a thief, you called me a liar, you called me a pervert.
No, I have not, Ted.
You said that I'm paying a fee for women.
Didn't you say a flat fee?
No, I did not.
All right. Okay, I believe you.
Right.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the policy at Ted's restaurant and maybe other restaurants where they don't give the tips to the servers. They just charge a flat tip fee on the bill, and then Ted keeps the money because he's the only one doing work above and beyond. He has to walk around and meet and greet people. Here's Karen on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Karen, go ahead. You're on the air.
I have a couple of questions, but I understand, you know, a minimum tip added on. I don't have a problem with that. And usually if you're going to that restaurant, you kind of already know ahead of time that's a way. But if I have good service, I develop a relationship, you know, like I ask for something maybe a little different and I'm taken care of, you know, I have no, you know, I want a tip extra. But that's because, you know, the history when I was a server years ago, it was you lived on.
You feel guilty. I mean, you feel guilty.
Why
yeah.
would you do it? I mean,
you feel, but you feel guilty because you're changing your mind every time you go in. Hey, do this, do that. You're kind of running them through a gauntlet just for amusement.
I do not enjoy ordering people around. I mean, I think.
Well, no, wait. Didn't you say that you try different things and you just try to see how they react? Because it's almost like in a lot of ways, and I don't blame you, but yeah, the way that they treat these like an ape in a lab, you'll.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what'd you say?
The lady is saying that she likes to come into the restaurant at different times and do different things to watch and see how the servers react.
I'm saying sometimes, you know, I'll do that. I mean, when you're talking about above
right.
and beyond,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
those are kind of extra things. But I have a
so you're experimenting with them.
Okay, fine.
She's not experimenting with them.
Do you, I mean, I'm different. I mean, I've owned some businesses before, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, they're different types of businesses. But,
right.
you know, I always treat people respectfully. And, you know, I feel like as an owner, if you want to make some money and you want return customers and everybody in your staff to be happy in a good atmosphere, then, yeah, it is part of your job to go out there and make sure that your customers are taken care of. Because what I want to know is, did you go talk to those students from Bethlehem? Did you go out and greet them and ask what was going on with
no,
them?
No, ma'am, that's not my restaurant. I'm in Beverly Hills, California.
Oh, okay.
That's a different restaurant. Yeah.
No, I'm in Beverly. I don't have Bethlehem. I had to ask Phil. Was he talking about the place where, Jesus was born? And he laughed.
Yeah.
No,
well, it wasn't that one.
I want
Bethlehem. No, but I want to.
Yeah,
know,
it wasn't that Bethlehem.
So
I doubt if they've got a steakhouse there yet. You know, probably still kosher there. But
go ahead
for a second. I know you're sponsored the show, and I think that, you know, you're getting great. You know, you're getting great stuff for your sponsorship. Did you pay for your sponsorship out of those tips? I mean, that's one question. But another one is, what about your bartenders? You know, do they get a flat fee? Do they get tips? Do they have to turn those
in? They do less work than anybody. They do less work than anybody because the customer comes to them. They just stand in one place.
Yeah,
I don't understand these questions.
All right. Thank you. Very good question, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, say it again, man, okay? I missed it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Back with Ted Bell here on our Ted's of Beverly Hills segment. Each week, Ted comes on and we talk about business. And boy, is business a very, very important subject these days in America. But we're talking about tips and we're talking about should you pay them or not, because we had this incident in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Ted, you keep the tip money that is tacked onto the bill, and you keep it because you're the only guy that goes above and beyond. Now, what if they give you cash? Because you've been mentioning cash here.
If they leave it on the table, it is a tip that was a part of what we tack onto the bill. Now, look, let me tell you a story here, Phil, because you know that a lot of big celebrities and actors and everything come into my restaurant. And I'm not trying to drop names or anything.
Well, you've been dropping them pretty good tonight.
No, I have not, Phil. That's very unfair.
You mentioned Bubba the Love Sponge, Greg Gutfield, Andy Levy.
That's not name dropping. All right. Okay. Oh wow, Bubba the Love Sponge. Well, that's going to get the Inquirer in my place, isn't it? I chased one of those guys away from the front door one night. Did you know that?
What?
One of those Inquirer guys. I chased him away from the front. They hang around the front of Maestro's. They hang around the front of all these places, but not me. When I see one of those long-haired and they got the greasy-haired creep with the camera, I tell them either they're going to get lost or they're going to be a part of the grill of my Jaguar. What do you think of that?
You know, Ted, you're real good at bullying people, man.
Let me tell you what happened the other night. This kid came in. He is a singer. Forgive me. I don't know his name. He said his album went platinum. And I said, you know, that's great. I don't know what that means. It sold a lot of albums, right?
Yeah, the album goes platinum. Who was it?
It was not Oscar Mayer. Oscar Mayer's the baloney, right? Yeah, it's the baloney company. Although if you heard his music, maybe you thought it was baloney. I don't know. Oscar Mayer?
Oscar Mayer, who came into your restaurant?
I'm trying to think. The guy's name is Oscar Mayer, or it's
John Mayer.
Yes, John Mayer. John Mayer.
Oscar Mayer, and you get the John Mayer.
I don't know who he is. He's a nice man, though. He came in and he tipped me a Benjamin. Who's the guy? A Benjamin Franklin. Okay. You want to know what I did with it? I said, "Hey, John, look at this." I went outside. And I lit up the fattest Cohiba I had left in the humidor, and he laughed. He laughed until he was sick. I'm serious. He laughed until we had to towel it up. So you see, Phil, you know, they...
So you say you're really telling a nice story about John Mayer, aren't you? You're saying that here's John Mayer, a man that's loved by people, and he came in and he gave you a $100 tip, and you lit a cigar with it, and he laughed.
Well, he was laughing at something. You know, I don't know his music. He did a song about bodies and a wonderland of bodies. Do you know that?
No, I don't. Your body is a wonderland.
Thank you. I'm kidding around.
You know, you can kid all you want, but the fact is you've got employees who could use that money that you're lighting cigars with.
You know something, Phil? A terrible lie has been told in this country. People pay tips to help the servers. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. They don't. They pay that money so they can walk out of that restaurant and feel assured that they'll make it home without pulling over, putting a pistol in their mouth, and sending the bullet and what few brains they have to the back window. Because I can tell you...
Oh, my God.
I can tell you they feel guilty ordering people around to serve them like they're working in a saloon.
877-876-PHIL. We'll go to a phone call here. And listening to us in Peoria, Illinois, is Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Ted, I got a question for you.
Do you
credit cards at your restaurant there?
Of course.
Of course? Well, let me ask you this. Every one of your servers have their own individual number when they log into that credit card machine so you keep it all straight at the end of the night?
Their individual number?
Yeah, every server should have an individual number that they log in with on the credit card machine when they ring up a check, correct?
I'd have to check and see, but if that's the way it goes, sure. They usually take it over to the bar, and I have the kid that works the bar, who's an Iranian kid, he usually processes it through.
All right, well, then the next question is, who's paying the taxes on that? Are you paying the taxes on their tips?
Who's paying the taxes on the tips? They do.
Yes, sir. Okay, so the help pays the taxes on the tip, and you collect the money. Is that how that works?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, that sounds real good. That sounds real good. If you did actually operate a restaurant, I think the IRS would be really interested in that. Next question for you.
If I did, actually, you know what? You come on out to Beverly Hills, the steak's on me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. I can get all the steak I want. I run my own restaurant, Chief. Next question.
Excuse me, Beverly Hills, I said, not Peoria, and I don't want to, you know, I could go a long way with that one, but I...
Don't knock where the guy is. You know, you're both fellow businessmen, okay?
Look, this guy is trying to call me a crook. You don't think I'm that stupid, do you?
I run my business
above board. You do? You want to know who one of my best friends is? David L. Snowden. You know who he is? The chief of police of Beverly Hills. Yeah.
And that means what?
Let me ask you a question. I know cops. I know cops, and cops know me.
I'll bet they do.
Let's talk about food costs.
Is he still here?
Let's talk about
this the restaurant
costs.
Guy?
Yeah.
What percentage?
Hey, what is 20? Let's talk about your restaurant. What do you do for a living?
I run a restaurant.
You own it, or do you run it?
My parents own it. I run it.
Well, how about that? So they got you in a monkey suit, and you think you got the whole thing figured out? If you did, you'd be running the rest. You'd be owning that thing. You know that your mother and father don't want you to have your hands on that restaurant because they know that you may have your hand in the till.
That's not even fair to say, Ted, because...
This guy's calling me a crook. How do I know he's not robbing his own mother and father?
You know, this conversation that we're having here is that...
When's the last time John Mayer came into your restaurant? Or whatever his name is.
I was there last week. I lit a cigar with his $100 bill.
Yeah, he was there last week. He was just swinging through Peoria, what, to pick up guitar picks?
No, he was dropping off $100 bill so I could light a cigar with him.
He's dropping off $100 bill so you could keep the heat on in the place?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
Okay,
let's talk food cost there, Ted. What percentage of
they do have
restaurant?
They do have a program for that. It's called welfare.
Okay.
Welfare, huh? Oh, that's good, Ted.
Yeah,
that's where you're going
to
be.
In other words, you don't have to have John Mayer come by. You could just ask the state to pay for your heat.
Oh, I could, but we actually managed to make money.
I got that wrong. Your mommy and dad could.
They could. But you see, the problem is that I know what our food costs is. I know what our bar costs are. What are yours? What percentage of your?
You know what your bar costs are because you guys couldn't make near as much money as I do. If you can figure out your bar costs on a napkin, good luck.
See, the funny thing is you don't want to answer because
you know what? You're a little bit of a lightweight. You know, you're too easy. I want some faster comebacks. I just said to you, you can figure out your bar costs because you can do it all on a cocktail napkin. Okay, come back. Come on, come back.
I'm just waiting for
come
the
on.
Percentages.
This kid's slow. He's too slow.
The kid's too slow. What percentage is your food cost?
And I also told him that I knew the chief of police of Beverly Hills.
It doesn't matter if you know the chief of police of Beverly Hills. Answer the man's question.
What's his question? Come on.
What percentage of the nightly take is your food cost? What percentage is your liquor cost?
Your voice is cracking.
Wait.
You know what that tells me?
You don't know? Do you do your own
books?
It tells me
that you're nervous. Do I do your books?
How does that work?
Do I bring in a what?
Is that how that works?
A Pollock? That's how they talk in Peoria, Phil. I forgot. Hey,
asking,
you talk that
you
kind of.
Know,
why don't you come on out here? Hey, why don't you come out here and talk that crap down on Garvey?
You don't know, do you?
Come on out and talk your Pollock. Come on out and talk all your Pollock talk down on Garvey. See how long
you
last.
What your bar cost is. You don't know what percentage of your bar.
Kid, you don't know how to. You don't know how to stay alive. Okay, you got a bigger problem than me. What's your bar cost? What's your bar? I should say, what's your bar tab at the end of a usual work night?
What is that supposed to mean?
He's probably drinking it. I know why this guy can keep track of the stock because he drinks half of it.
I keep track of my stock.
You know, Ted, you're about as unprofessional. First of all, you've been talking about stealing money. Then you're mocking this guy. Then you're saying that he's drinking up his stock. You haven't answered any questions that he's been asking.
This guy's talking about Pollocks. You want me to take him seriously?
The fact of the matter is, he's asking you some serious questions. You've made some pretty astounding statements here tonight. Charging a flat fee for waitresses, lighting cigars with $100 bills. You know the chief of police of Beverly Hills.
I do.
John Mayer came in and tipped you $100. Levy and Gutfield, all of this stuff. And this guy runs a restaurant, and he...
His mother and father run the restaurant, okay? He takes orders from them.
The fact is, he knows the business of the restaurant and has asked you a lot of questions.
Wait a minute. What is this asking me questions? I sponsor this segment of the program. Have you got a jingle, kid? Hey, kid.
Yeah.
Kid, have you got a jingle?
Yeah, I got jingle in my pocket right now.
No. I mean, do you have a commercial advertising budget? I guess you didn't know what I meant.
No.
I bet you that's how you figure out how much money you got, by the way, though, to see how much your pocket's jingling. But listen to this.
We have a good
listen
restaurant.
To this
we don't actually have to
and
advertise.
Weep. Yeah, this cost me a lot of money. Now, I want you to, Kevin, is that his name? Kevin, right?
Yeah, it's Kevin.
Kevin, listen to this line. I paid a lot of money for this line that's coming up.
That's because your restaurant's terrible.
listen to this.
You don't have to pay to advertise.
Now, I know about your restaurant in Peoria, okay? That's where all of the diseased cows are dropped off. How about that? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right. Thank you very much. Kevin, good luck with your restaurant, man. Good luck with your restaurant.
No problem.
My brother. All right, man. 877-877.
You cut off Ted Bell. He's going to be mad.
I don't care. He's starting to highlight, hey, listen to this line. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. We'll be right back.
Bill Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to get to the stories we didn't get to. Thanks to Ted Bell. I don't know for what, man.
You know, I got off the phone with him. He's pretty mad on account of you hung up on him. And he said you left him, that he's got a towel off.
What do you mean he's got a towel off? You know, that guy was talking all kinds of smack all night long about his restaurant and what you do with tip money. And he finally has a guy who's challenging him. That kid runs a restaurant.
Yeah, but Ted said that kid was not off the nipple yet.
Well, for not being off the nipple yet, I mean, he was asking Ted a lot of really good questions, and all Ted could say was stuff like, you got your hand in the till.
Yeah, and then another thing Ted said.
I don't want to know what Ted said through you.
Yeah, man. Ted can call him up himself. He's got the number. He does?
Yes, he does. He has my number, okay?
Oh, okay, because I gave him your home number.
Don't give him my... Out of here with that. All right, Arkansas cops suspended. Now, this, after listening to you, Bud, and after listening to Ted, this is actually a relaxing story. Arkansas cops suspended after using taser on girl age 10. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is an example of another one of those misleading headlines. A police officer used a stun gun on an unruly 10-year-old girl after he said her mother gave him permission, has been suspended, but not for using the taser. No, he was suspended for not having a video camera attached when he used it. That's what he got suspended for. Mayor Vernon McDaniel said Officer Dustin Bradshaw was suspended Wednesday for 7 days with pay. McDaniel said the suspension is not following department procedures because he didn't have the camera on. McDaniel wants Arkansas State Police, the FBI, to look into whether the use of the taser was proper. The girl, who wasn't identified, wasn't injured, and is now at the Western Arkansas Youth Shelter in Cecil. Now listen to this. Police were called to the home on November the 11th after the girl's mother couldn't get her to take a shower. Bradshaw's report says the girl was violently kicking and verbally combative when Bradshaw tried to take her into custody, and she kicked him in the groin. He said he delivered a very brief drive stun to her back. A dry stun is what it's called. That is, they directly attach it. Her mother told him to taser if I needed to, Bradshaw wrote. Kim Burdell, a spokeswoman with the FBI in Little Rock, said her office neither confirms nor denies when it's involved in investigation and declined to comment. State police have declined to comment. Police Chief Jim Noggle said Wednesday that tasers are a safe way to subdue people who are a danger to themselves or others. We didn't use the taser to punish the child, just to bring the child under control so she wouldn't hurt herself or somebody else. If the officer tried to forcefully put the girl in handcuffs, he could have accidentally broken her arm or leg. When have we said that? Gee, I heard somebody say that. Oh, I know who it was. Me. He said a touch of the stun gun less than a second stopped the girl from being unruly, and she was handcuffed. She got up immediately, and they put her in the patrol car. I don't have a problem with it. I don't give a damn if she is 10. I just don't. And you know something else? These stun guns and these tasers and all of these other weapons that have been used in the past by police officers, they're used for one reason, because chokehold is out, baton is out, guns are out. Gradually, we narrow the area of operation for police officers in subduing suspects. We don't want them to get the crap kicked out of them. We don't want them to get billy sticked to death. We don't want them to get shot. We don't want them to get thrown off a cliff. We don't want them to get their arms or their necks or their legs broken because the cop, we don't want a chokehold so they die from suffocation. But somehow we tell these cops to go out there and get people under control to bring them someplace. All right, I'm done.
That's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on our world-famous Phil Henry Show each and every night. We do have the, our stories that we couldn't get to that are forthcoming. A reminder on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can go over and you can check out the on-demand video of the show tonight. Just head on over to philhenryshow.com. We'll have the on-demand up by tomorrow, and you can see a five-day archive of on-demand video. The stories we couldn't get to tonight. A suburban Philadelphia police chief says two teenagers being held after officers arrested them and found video recordings they made of themselves burglarizing homes. Nice move. Upper Darby Police Department Michael Chitwood told reporters on Wednesday that the 15 and 16-year-old boys terrorized the neighborhood with their burglaries and added a bizarre twist with the video recordings. Chitwood says in one of the homes they unwrapped Christmas presents and stole electronic games. He says they can be heard on the video, remarking that Christmas came early for them. Police say they had just set off a burglar alarm when officers caught them on the street with backpacks full of around $1,000 worth of stolen goods, mostly electronics. They're being held in juvenile detention. In Fargo, North Dakota, Fargo police said a man ran over a light pole and punched a police officer in the mouth when the officer tried to arrest him. Police Sergeant Mark Lycan said police got a report about 2 a.m. Thursday that a pickup hit a light pole and pulled into a nearby parking lot. Lycan said the driver allegedly hit an officer in the mouth with his fist when the officer went to arrest him in his apartment. Police said the light pole had to be disconnected because of the damage. The driver faces charges that include drunken driving and assault against an officer. And when it's cold, too, man.
That's gotta hurt.
A 2-year-old in North Mississippi has done something few toddlers can. He helped his mother give birth to his brother. Bobby Favazza is his name. He told the commercial... Bobby Favazza's the mom. And she told the commercial appeal she went into labor this past Friday and gave birth on the family's living room couch in Olive Branch. She said her toddler, Jeremiah Taylor, got her a towel and caught the baby before firefighters arrived to cut the umbilical cord. Favazza gave birth to a 7-pound, 4-ounce baby boy named Cameron Taylor. Is that heavy or what, man? She had been scheduled for a cesarean section on December the 6th. City Emergency Services Supervisor Greg Minot said the 9/11 call about Favazza was probably the third this year about a woman in labor, but usually the mother makes it to the hospital before delivery. Moldavian soldiers have been issued with an extra ration of onions and garlic to ward off swine flu. Yeah, you thought I was going to say vampires, huh?
Ain't that Transylvania?
No, it's Moldova or Moldova or something. Anyway, that's according to the Defense Ministry. We've introduced an extra 25 grams of onion and 15 grams of garlic in their daily ration, said a Defense Ministry spokesperson. You know, that's pretty smart, man.
You're going to stink to high heaven, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference if you don't get swine. I'd rather smell to high heaven, man, than get the swine, I'll tell you that. So far, 24 soldiers have completed treatment for swine flu, while 19 are in the hospital with acute respiratory infections. Moldova has registered more than 900 cases of the virus infection. This week, most schools and universities reopened after a quarantine period was lifted, but 5 schools and 1 university remain closed. Keep that in mind, you guys. That's 1 ounce of onion and 15 grams of garlic. Ooh, baby, are you going to stink? A town on New York's Long Island is hoping for better attendance at its 16th annual holiday boat parade this year by restoring Christmas to the event's name. The Patchogue Riverfront Committee says it's decided to rename the event Christmas Holiday Boat Parade after taking over sponsorship from the local Chamber of Commerce. Last year's event was renamed Holiday Boat Parade after some residents complained that the name wasn't inclusive enough. They wanted Kwanzaa on there, and there's nothing but white people. Anyway, the committee says the ensuing controversy led to a dramatic drop-off in spectators. It says it's restoring the word Christmas to recognize that most of the participants celebrate the holiday. The parade featured Santa Claus. It's going to be held on Sunday at the Patchogue River. They ought to rename the town, though. I mean, they can maybe they ought to call it Christmas Town.
Phil Hendry.